This is WSBT's Community Update on 96.1 WSBT.
Good morning. I'm John Hoffman. Community Update this week consists of a recap of a number of key stories from the past week. Indiana School Superintendent Jennifer McCormick announced last Monday she will not run for another term in 2020 to lead the Indiana Department of Education. While McCormick is a Republican who ousted Democratic Superintendent Glenda Ritz in 2016, she has clashed with GOP lawmakers over education policy. McCormick says the, quote, governance structure gets in the way of doing what's best for kids. The State Board of Education, which sets policy, is a separate agency from the superintendent's office. Legislative leaders and the governor's office have significant influence over its members. But the Department of Education is controlled by the superintendent's office and must implement board decisions. Some of the conflicts led lawmakers last year to pass a bill that will take the selection of the superintendent away from the voters and have the governor make the appointment starting in 2025. Among the issues where McCormick has clashed with lawmakers is over her support for closer supervision of charter and voucher schools that take state money. McCormick will stay until her term ends in January of 2021. The South Bend community gathered together in Sites Park this past Tuesday evening to remember those who have lost their lives to domestic violence. 44 victims across the state died as a result of domestic violence last year, including two in South Bend and one in Elkhart. Yakira McLeod's sister was a victim.
It's better to leave and walk away than to stay and try to make stuff work if it's an unhealthy situation, unhealthy relationship. So no one deserves to be beat, no one deserves to be hit or hurt or talked to the wrong way. Mentally abused or physically abused is just not right.
The city partnered with the YWCA to raise awareness. October is National Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Towing trailers and hauling freight on the Indiana Toll Road got a little more expensive on Friday. The rates for vehicles with three or more axles jumped 35%. The new rates could affect more than just truckers.
The rate hike is part of Governor Eric Holcomb's Next Level Connections program that would fund infrastructure projects, but people in the trucking industry say the costs will ultimately be passed on to consumers. The new increased rates will affect vehicles with three or more axles. The trucking industry has not responded very kindly to the increase. While some say it won't necessarily affect their businesses, it could cut into their already slim profit margins. Jeremy Reimer, who's the CEO and founder of Driver Reach, which helps companies recruit semi-drivers, says the increase could cause a domino effect on area roads and delivery times.
It just gets too expensive, and it ends up causing delays now because they won't want to take the toll road, or they'll be less likely to want to take the toll road. And so other less traveled roads will be more congested.
Governor Eric Holcomb's office has said that the toll rates are still among the lowest in the country, but the industry expert I spoke to today says he thinks the change will ultimately make the state less competitive.
WSBT 22's Max Lewis reporting. A Michigan man is looking to help bring awareness to the country's water issues, including contaminated drinking water in Flint, Michigan. He's doing that by rollerblading across the country. He passed through southwest Michigan and northern Indiana this week.
Matthew Bork has lived in Flint for the past year, trying to advocate for options to get clean water. He says the water issues are all across the country, not just in Flint. That's why he's taking this journey. Bork left Flint 2 weeks ago and is heading south to the bayous of Louisiana, where he believes oil pipelines are destroying the land. In Flint, he says people are still relying on bottled water and are recommended to avoid the city water. He believes it's chemicals and bacteria in old pipes that has made the crisis worse. During his journey, he wants to stop in small towns to talk to people and get help for their water problems. Bork isn't alone. His friend Joe Britt and their dogs are always a few miles ahead or behind, making sure he is safe. The duo hope their trip will spark a change.
Sometimes you just have to jump on the street and go. So that's what I'm kind of doing. It's a 1,300-mile trip overall, so I'm still within my first 300 miles. So I'm hoping as time progresses, we can continue to build more things that will help create more awareness and getting out to more people.
Bork says the only way to solve the country's water problem is to get people involved. He says in order to fix the problems in Flint, the city must rebuild their infrastructure to make sure the pipes are not contaminating the water.
WSBT 22's DJ Manu reporting. Without a U.S. birth certificate or record of citizenship, it's challenging to get an ID, and IDs can be crucial to access a range of services. A mobile ID event last week at St. Mary's College invited people to get a South Bend ID, regardless of citizenship documentation. Juan Constantino with La Casa de Amistad says people can use it at the library and for city services.
The South Bend ID program gives you a valid ID that by executive order of Mayor Pete and the city of South Bend, city agencies are required by law to accept it as a valid form of identification within the city limits of South Bend.
The IDs cost $25. They will not get you a driver's license or let you register to vote, but they can help with city services in South Bend. The price can be discounted for children and seniors. It isn't always easy to tell what's true and what's false online. Just this past week, a fake news article about a Mishawaka man trapping a pedophile in a torture chamber went viral. Researchers at Notre Dame are looking into how fake news like this spreads. It turns out it can be pretty easy to get an article trending. Just one share, like, or retweet can make an article 25% more visible to others. So be careful what you like. Notre Dame professor Tim Wenninger has researched the topic for years. He finds 70% of the time people that share an article haven't actually read it. If people do more investigating before retweeting, liking, or sharing, Wenninger says that will slow down fake news. He took a look at the website that spread that fake article. He says if you look closely, there is no contact number or address on the story. That's a red flag. He also says it's easy for sites like this to manipulate social media.
I would imagine that there's an organization with an agenda behind this particular website. I don't know who it is yet. I don't know what the agenda is yet. But what I've seen so far is really disconcerting.
The Mishawaka Police Department also posted on its Facebook page saying if this article were real, they would have shared it with local media and it would have included a comment from them. Several area school districts are seeing lower scores in the 2018 ISTEP exam. Students in Mishawaka, South Bend, PHM, and local Catholic schools all posted scores lower than in the previous year. PHM posted the highest scores in St. Joseph County. Just over two-thirds of students there in grades 3 through 8 passed both the English and math portions of the exam. This year marked the last round of ISTEP. Indiana is transitioning to a new standardized test called iLearn next year. Many of us have been dealing with traffic delays at rail crossings along the Norfolk Southern Line in Osceola, Mishawaka, and Eastern South Bend. The railroad is doing maintenance at up to 15 crossings, ranging from Ash Road to the county line to Twickenham in South Bend. Most of the drivers WSBT 22 spoke to are dealing with it, but they say it's definitely affecting their commute times. Here's more from Brooke O'Daniel.
In the last hour that I've been here, at least 15 cars have had to turn around, some of them even delivery trucks. Now, a lot of the drivers I've spoken with have been pretty understanding, but they all say this is definitely affecting their commute times.
Road closed signs are at 15 railroad crossings in the area.
Usually it takes me about 15 minutes more, because usually it only takes about 10 minutes just to go over the tracks, just get to my work.
Cordis works at Kroger and says he decided to walk today just so he could cross the tracks at the normal spot.
Well, you have to go around more than one spot because normally I'm not used to having all these teared up. Usually only do one or two at a time.
Driver after driver turning around.
Well, I was surprised that the crossing was closed too. You know, I made a turn in here. Now I have to go back to the underpass. So.
Maintenance crews are going through and laying new asphalt. While vehicles may be stopped, trains are still running. And officials say it's impossible to pin down a specific time as to when each crossing will be complete.
It's all dependent on, like, a production gang, which is the gang that's out there right now that's working on the railroad tracks. And sometimes they get, you know, 2 or 3 miles a day. Sometimes they don't get anywhere.
Train traffic, weather, and equipment issues can all be factors as to how quickly construction gets done. So as for now, drivers are just going to have to deal with the inconvenience.
I was going to go grocery shopping at Kroger next door, But I came to this street and I thought it was, I didn't know it was closed, so I came here and then I turned around.
The railroad hopes to have all the crossings reopened by the end of this coming week. You may not give much thought to that glass of milk on the dinner table, but local farmers do. They want to be able to sell their milk in more places. They're watching new U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreements closely. It replaces the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA. The new agreement changes where farms can sell their products.
These cows produce 5 million pounds of milk every year. That's close to 600,000 gallons. And right now, it used to be that farmers could only sell that milk here in the United States, but now they'll be able to sell it in Canada, too.
Holy moly. Come on, boys. I think I'm going to take them somewhere.
Mike Martin has been a farmer for nearly 40 years. He has hundreds of cows that produce a lot of milk. He says recent trade wars have really hurt the sale of that milk. Martin says some estimates he's read show the price per 100 pounds of milk dropped by nearly $1.65.
Right now we're getting right around $15 to $16 a hundred. So what's that? 10%? Yeah, it's a pretty good knock because most of our cash on our farm, our cash operating costs are around $13 to $14 a hundred.
That makes his thin profit margin even thinner.
And our operating costs, in other words, what we buy in here, is approximately 80 to 82% of our gross milk income.
Dairy trade groups say this new deal with Canada could ease those troubles. The National Milk Producers Federation says the deal would prevent Canada from selling surplus milk in other markets in direct competition with the United States. Plus, U.S. dairy farmers could sell their milk in Canada, which hasn't been allowed. The Federation said in a statement, from a strategic standpoint, the agreement announced Sunday will benefit America's dairy sector. Martin isn't so sure.
So hopefully it'll help out, but you know, I don't know that there's a lot of people in Canada to soak it up like China is really who soaks up a lot of milk.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in China.
Martin says he's had a tough few years on the farm, but he doesn't have any plans to get out of the business. He says he's still turning a profit.
WSBT 22's Caitlin Conan reporting. St. Joseph County government leaders could soon decide whether to spend millions of dollars for a new financial computer system. The South Bend Tribune reports supporters of the plan say the new system is needed for tasks related to accounting, payroll tracking, preparing budgets, and human resources. They say the current system should be replaced soon to comply with a state law requiring changes in how counties create financial reports for the state. 14 software companies submitted proposals in February for financial systems to the County Board of Commissioners. A steering committee reviewed the proposals and some company demonstrations. Two finalists scored higher than the rest, Georgia-based Infor Public Sector and Texas-based Tyler Technologies. Tyler is the same company whose computer-aided dispatch system has been blamed for problems at the county's 911 center that have caused thousands of dispatches to be delayed. Tyler's bid is significantly lower than Infor Public Sector, but questions have been raised about the company's customer service. 911 Center Director Ray Schultz is recommending the county avoid Tyler, which has yet to resolve software problems at the 911 center. Tyler defends its dispatch software and said issues with the county's data have caused those problems. Infor's financial computer system was rated highest by the review group. As a result, a 9-member selection committee recommended the county council, the government's financial branch, support the company's proposal and budget money for it. Council members have been told by county purchasing officials that Infor would provide more than 4 times as much on-site training as Tyler. The council is expected to decide October 23rd if it supports Infor's proposal. If it does, contract negotiations would move forward. If a contract is reached, it would need approval from the Board of Commissioners. The new state law requires counties with populations greater than 100,000, and that does include St. Joseph County, to change the way they file annual financial reports with the state. If such counties don't make the change by June 30th of 2020, they can no longer issue bonds. Although Commissioners Andy Castelny and Deb Fleming have indicated they would support replacing the current system, Commissioner Dave Thomas says he thinks it would be wasteful spending. He says he believes the county could find a way to retool the current system so that reporting rules are met.
The views expressed on WSBT's Community Update are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the host, WSBT Radio, its staff, or management. Join us again next week on Community Update on The Sports Leader, 96.1 WSBT.